The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com, Procrastination, How to Get Out of the Slump. This article was written by Catherine Neandenthal on December 22, 2025. Imagine this. You just got home from a long day of school and sports, and it's already 9 p.m. You have multiple assignments due at midnight tonight, but you just can't seem to get up out of bed. Just do it in a little, your brain says. You still have hours, right? That's procrastination speaking. Don't worry, I've done it as well. Currently procrastinating this article on procrastination. As a student balancing almost all honors classes in high school, club volleyball, and extracurricular activities, I catch myself procrastinating all the time. What is procrastination? Procrastination is the voluntary delay of an activity or action that is often found unpleasant. According to Psychology Today, psychologists have identified various drivers of procrastination, from low self-confidence to anxiety, a lack of structure, and simply an inability to motivate oneself to complete unpleasant tasks. If someone chronically avoids tasks or overthinks, it can be linked to mental health issues such as anxiety, ADHD, depression, or OCD, says mentalhealth.com. Fixation on negative thoughts leads to overthinking, which leads to putting off work and, therefore, procrastinating. It's much more common for teens between the ages of 14 and 29, from National Library of Medicine, to procrastinate chronically due to hormones, as the region of their brains responsible for planning and time management isn't fully developed yet. Not only is it due to their brains that teens procrastinate, but it can also be due to academic pressure, parental authority, or perfectionism. A perfectionist might tell themselves, "I must complete this assignment perfectly," which makes them push it aside, making it seem like there's a bigger time frame than the nearing deadline. Most of the time, people procrastinate for temporary mood boosts. I think I'd be a little happier if I didn't have to write that 5-page English paper too. This mood boost doesn't last forever, though, once you realize that the task can't be put off much longer. How can I stop procrastinating? In my experience, it's hard to stop putting off work to do something else, but it is possible. Here's how I do it. As soon as you get home from work or sports, don't sit down. Once you let yourself relax, your brain goes into chill mode, and suddenly it's impossible to get up. First, you're going to get up and make a list of all the tasks you have to do. For example, I'll write down all the important tasks, homework due soon, send emails, etc., then the less important or easy tasks, rewriting notes, return book, check grades, etc., on a whiteboard or a notebook. If you're too exhausted to do any of the work, take a cold shower. It awakens your body by quickly changing the temperature and making you more aware of your surroundings. Ready or not to do the work, put anything distracting, like your phone, into another room so it's not tempting. Make doing tasks enjoyable. Sitting at your desk with a cozy drink or cute lighting can help. I enjoy letting study blogs with music play in the background with a Pomodoro timer to track my progress. Check out Sean Study on YouTube. Here are some easy methods to get your work started, ranked on a scale of most effective to least effective by me. 1. The 5-minute method. Sit down at your desk with one assignment you need to complete. If you're using a laptop, keep only the tabs you need for the work open and close everything else. If you're doing the work on paper, clear off everything else distracting on your desk. Tell yourself, "I'll only do this for 5 minutes." Once your brain gets working, you'll keep going until you finish. 2. All or nothing mentality. Honestly, this is a close second. Sitting down at your desk with the mentality to get everything done in one session might seem like a lot, but once you lock in, the work just starts flowing. Sitting down in a cozy setting with a nice drink makes it more enjoyable, and once you finish, the feeling of having everything done and being productive really pays off. 3. Timer method. List everything you need to do on a piece of paper or try out pomofocus.io and set a timer for however long you think you need to complete that assignment. Do not allow yourself to go over that time limit, and working in a deadline makes you work a lot faster. For example, say you need to write an essay. Allow yourself only 1 hour to complete the whole thing. You'll think faster, write faster, and therefore get it all done faster. 4. The Pomodoro method. Commonly used by high school and college students, the Pomodoro method involves a study session followed by a short break, then beginning another session. This allows for bursts of focus and breaks in between to decrease burnout. I like the amount of customization that you have with this focus method. Some studies show that it takes 25 minutes for the human brain to actually lock in on a specific topic, so allowing yourself to work for 25 minutes after your focus lock really lets the work start to flow. I find 50 minutes of study followed by a 10-minute break the most effective. The only reason that it's so low on the list is that I'm not a huge fan of the sudden break in focus, though it might work better for you. 5. Lower the bar. If you're having a hard time just getting up and convincing yourself to do the work, this one might be for you. Begin your work with the easiest or quickest topic on your list. Once you get going, you most likely will just want to get it done. Solve only the questions you know. Write only the easy paragraphs. Skip new topic introductions. You can go back to those later. Once you start, you'll go into work mode, and you'll be able to get the next, harder topics done for sure. I prefer starting with the more urgent assignments so that I can get them out of the way, but try it out. Maybe it works for you. Final thoughts. Procrastination isn't laziness. It's often a response to stress, burnout, or being overwhelmed. The key isn't waiting for motivation or finally meeting a deadline, but action. Starting to get the work done is the hardest part. From then, it's all downhill. Hopefully, you'll try out these study methods and find what works for you. Everyone's mind functions differently. Good luck and happy studying. Our next article from the teenmagazine.com. Dual enrollment, AP or IB, which one is right for you. This article was written by Anna Rosenbaum on November 15, 2025. Picking classes can be extremely overwhelming, especially for those of us without older siblings to help guide us. For high-achieving students, the time often comes when you have to make a decision: dual enrollment, AP, or IB. However, that choice isn't as simple as it seems. So, let me help you break it down so you can choose what's right for you. Dual enrollment, DE. Dual enrollment courses are the second most popular choice for college-level courses that high schoolers take. These courses are classes taken at a community college, usually online. The appealing nature of these classes stems from the flexibility. Often, dual enrollment courses are much more laid back than AP and IB, and the online format allows for self-paced completion. So, if you have a busy schedule outside of school that doesn't allow you to always get your assignments done on time, taking a dual enrollment class might work for you, since assignments are typically due once a week. Aside from flexibility, dual enrollment is a great option for students who know which college they want to attend. Community colleges that offer dual enrollment often have a list of colleges that specifically agreed to accept all dual enrollment credits from said institution. That means if your dream college has an agreement with a local community college to accept credits, you could be guaranteed college credit for the course. This is most common with in-state colleges. If you're someone who struggles with self-discipline and procrastination, this might not be the choice for you. If you're organized and looking for a less stressful way to get college credit, dual enrollment might be worth trying. And if you're extra ambitious and want to knock out some general education in college, getting an associate's degree through dual enrollment that you get at the same time you graduate high school could be a great option. However, dual enrollment credits are often limited to in-state colleges and can be hard to get credit for if you plan to go out of state. Advanced Placement, AP. AP courses are the most popular college-level coursework that students take in high school. These classes are structured as single-course classes. Every year in May, AP exams are offered that test you on the course content, which many colleges accept for credit. These courses are structured similarly the majority of the time: one part multiple choice and one part free response. However, there are some exceptions, such as AP seminar and AP research, which include a research paper and presentation in the exam grade. AP courses get their popularity from their accessibility. You can take an AP exam even if you don't take the class. So, for students who want to fill their in-school schedules with different classes but are still looking for that college credit, AP exams are a great way to do that. Additionally, most classes do not have any long-form papers that are part of their exam grades, with AP seminar/research being the exception. This makes cramming easy for students who procrastinate a lot. However, AP courses can often be stressful for students since college credit rides on one exam. Whereas IB courses include an extended paper that the students have time to perfect, one bad test day could cause a student to lose a chance to get college credit for their class. The exams are often fast-paced as well, which adds to the difficulty of the exams and the stress. If you're a good test taker and you prefer less writing and more specialized coursework, AP classes might be for you, especially if you're seeking widely accepted college credit. International Baccalaureate, IB. Out of the three, IB is the least well known. These classes have a completely different framework from AP and DE classes. IB is more focused on soft skills rather than memorization or specialization in one topic. IB courses follow similar structures across all classes. There is a long-term assignment that you work on throughout the entirety of the course, usually a research paper, presentation, and/or project. This means writing and synthesis skills are more valued, and application is vital. Additionally, these classes are much longer. To get the full IB diploma, it takes 2 years, compared to AP and DE courses, often taking only 1 or 2 semesters. For some, this is a huge benefit. You get to explore your topics more thoroughly and develop a deeper understanding of your research. With an interesting topic and a good mentor, IB classes can be a lot of fun and a good chance to showcase your extensive interest in a topic to colleges. If long-form papers intimidate you, IB might not be for you. But if you have a personal interest that you would love to do extensive research on, IB could be a great option. These courses are usually much longer, so keep that in mind when making your decision. Being stuck in a class of students or with a teacher you don't get along with for 2 years might be a poor choice. Overall, pick what's best for you based on your strengths. If you like independence and self-managing your classes, try out dual enrollment. But if you like that structure of in-school classes and clear-cut course content, the large-scale nature of AP classes could be for you. But if you love researching and don't mind a good bit of writing, IB could be a great way to showcase your skills. In my opinion, I favor AP classes since you are almost 100% guaranteed college credit across most American colleges as long as you score well on the exam. I also find the clear-cut content of the courses a huge benefit, since there are thousands of resources that cover the exact same content you cover in class to guarantee a good score on the exam. To succeed, reaching out to your AP teacher for help when you're confused, paired with studying AP classroom resources and released AP exam questions, can help. But don't feel pressured if you think AP classes don't align with what you're trying to achieve. Pick what you think is best for you. Best of luck. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. Everyone's ditching Nike Techs for quarter zips. Should you? This article was written by Julian Awuku Asante on November 30th, 2025. The funniest part about this whole quarter zip and matcha thing to me is that I've personally been wearing them for my entire life, and my friends are finally realizing that I've been on this trend before everyone started copying me, minus the matcha part. While it genuinely seems like the movement just fell out of the sky, like most trends, that's not the full story. It's time to decipher social media's hottest trend and find out why people are throwing away their Nike Techs. The backstory. In early November, Jason Guyamphe, a Bronx native who recently graduated from Allegheny College in Pennsylvania, posted a video on TikTok and Instagram with his friend Richard Miner, notably stating, "We don't do Nike Tech. We don't do coffee. It's straight quarter zips and matcha around here." His video quickly blew up across social media platforms, with the original video gaining over 23 million views as of November 29, 2025. In an interview with Complex, Gyamfi didn't expect to start an entire movement, stating that, "I just wanted to wear something that I didn't feel like I was overdressing for the occasion, but still made me look presentable." Wearing QZs and drinking matcha. Gyamfi has everyone on this planet screaming, "Straight quarter zips and matcha," right now, with many teens, content creators, and celebrities participating in the trend, further pushing the movement. I've also seen many people at my school, including myself, arrive in quarter zips. While this might just be a trend, it's encouraging more people to dress more neatly and clean, which is a huge plus. Drinking matcha, on the other hand, promotes a healthier lifestyle, as studies show that the tea can lower blood pressure, improve your concentration, and provide you with anti-inflammatory effects. The Bronx native summed it up perfectly in an interview with ABC 7 New York, emphasizing that the movement is elevation at the end of the day. When you leave your house, you're the best version of yourself, point blank, period. The beef with Nike Tech. At the end of the day, some people are opting to stand by their Nike Techs, with a few content creators even making a whole pledge to the tracksuit. As crazy as that seems, I'm honestly not surprised. Not too long ago, Nike Techs used to be a fashion statement back in the early 2020s, primarily gaining dominance in urban U.S. cities like NYC and the U.K. The tracksuit was very popular, with celebrities like Central C becoming synonymous with Nike Techs. Nevertheless, like all trends, this one started to die out by late 2023. To put the nail in the coffin, the British rapper nicknamed Mr. Nike Tech joined in on the trend not too long ago. I personally never had the luxury of owning a Nike Tech, and now with this whole quarter zip movement, I don't think I ever will. Should you join the QZ movement? The quarter zip trend is establishing a more classy and professional standard for teens and young adults, turning the demographic into young gentlemen. Whether or not you should join the QZ is totally up to you, but in my opinion, just try it out for a day, along with matcha. If you like it, then by all means, go all in. But if it's not your cup of tea, then that's totally fine. Our next article from TeenVogue.com. Young New Yorkers react to Zohran Mamdani's inauguration. This article was written by Alyssa Hardy and Emily McGowan on January 1st. At midnight on January 1, Zohran Mamdani was sworn in as mayor of New York City. The campaign leading up to his historic win as the first Muslim mayor of New York was one of the most talked about in recent history. His team mobilized young New Yorkers across all five boroughs, bringing in record numbers of first-time mayoral voters in the city. Those same young New Yorkers came out in the bitter cold on New Year's Day to see his inauguration speech outside City Hall. "Today begins a new era," Mamdani began. I stand before you, moved by the privilege of taking this sacred oath. Throughout his speech, he spoke to working-class New Yorkers about affordability and community building, emphasizing rent freezing and public transit. These policies are not simply about the costs we make free, but the lives we make free. Before the speech, Teen Vogue spoke to young attendees about what the moment meant for them and why they chose to come out in the frigid temps to see it. Many said they were there because of his message on affordability. I am excited for him to make New York more affordable and make New York for the people again instead of just the freaking rich people. One attendee named Rollins tells Teen Vogue. Others mentioned his messages of community. Jane, who was attending with friends, added a similar sentiment. People really rallied behind him and his beliefs, and because we all share that same idea of community, of being here for others. A different attendee braving the cold agreed with this sentiment. What I'm most excited for Zohran to do is, honestly, bring people together. Jane also noted that as a bus user, she was there to support his initiative to make bus fares free. One thing I am very excited about is fast and free buses. I hope that happens soon. Others added that they hope he addresses affordability by lowering train fares. Overall, the crowd sentiment appeared to echo that heard at rallies around the city in both the primary and general elections. Many young New Yorkers believe that Mamdani will restore a sense of togetherness that makes NYC special. I hope that he brings hope to New Yorkers, another attendee tells us. Especially as a young voter, I believe as a country we need to be more united, and I think he will allow that to happen. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.